Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi y'all, Sophie here. I'm on my own this week with a few news postings. My junior producer Yelly will be back next week, so don't worry, you won't miss our banter too much. If you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, aka December 31st, it is technically your last chance to get in on our Patreon drive. You know the deal, we collabed with Stylish Sista on a body pause series of prints and stickers inspired by our logo designed by Hannah Sanger, aka Hip Fat. We'll send you one of these sticker sheets as thanks when you join our Patreon at Team Paisley Moo Moo today. Shout out to our newest patrons, Nika Austin, Carly Taylor, and Katie Davis. Y'all are getting free stickers. Worry not though, if you missed the drive, you've still got plenty of reason to join our Patreon. Today we're giving you a little sneak preview of the kind of stuff we get up to over there on Team Paisley Moo Moo. Every Friday, our patrons get a whole extra episode of She's All Fat. This season, those eps are our classic fatty film schools. You're about to hear a fatty film school I did with our senior producer Lynn about the holiday movie on all of our gay lips, Happiest Season. Enjoy! Hi family, here we are in the Patreon episode to talk about Fatty Film School once again. Today we is me and Lynn, our beautiful, wonderful, albeit thin, senior producer. And we are talking about Happiest Season, which is the new queer Christmas holiday movie that's out on Netflix. And we are talking about queer stuff. There's not that much fat stuff in this movie, but our whole team behind the scenes is queer. So hopefully you enjoy this discussion about Happiest Season. Lynn is our probably our strongest aesthetically lesbian presence in the group.
Oh my gosh.
She's got a really strong mullet right now. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm excited to talk about Happiest Season.
Yeah, I feel like most of the stuff when I was doing research was me trying to find fat queer rep in other movies because I was like, there's no one fat in this movie. And then
there's
I remembered
a lot of fat queer rep.
Yeah, there's obviously not a lot of fat queer, well, like in pop culture. Like obviously yeah. There are a lot of fat queer writers and I'm sure actors, etc.
Not a lot of Netflix Christmas movies
yeah.
with fat.
Well,
queer
zero,
rep, for sure.
One might even
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
I went through a list of 200 lesbian movies, like lesbian, queer, bisexual movies that Drew Gregory did on Autostraddle, and she's one of my fave writers. She's a trans lesbian. And then I pulled out maybe like four that like I thought maybe had a fat person.
My favorite queer movie of the last year was Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Mm-hmm. Which is
they're
like...
both. It was beautiful, but they're both... It's like... a period movie and they're both thin and white, which is yeah. like all lesbian movies really.
Literally it's so sad and like very like beautifully feminine, like traditionally feminine, which like
yes
by setting it in by being a period piece it's like okay well like women couldn't be butch like during these times and I'm like I don't know, I feel like women were probably still butch. And then even in like the ones where it's like, oh, like this woman is pretending to be a man to be a writer.
Yes.
They're like a beautifully like feminine young man. Like they're like Timothy
yes.
Chalamet, you know?
Yes.
You're
yes.
Like, that's a woman.
This is very true. This is very true.
Yes. But do you have any just like initial thoughts on Happiest Season, like what you were expecting and then what you felt when you watched it?
Sure. So for people who didn't watch it yet, which it's on Netflix and also we're doing a watch party,
but
it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu, but it's about a queer couple where one girlfriend asks the other girlfriend to come home with her for the holidays, despite the fact that she hasn't come out to her family, which is a terrible choice on her part. And then the movie goes from there. And I feel like it was supposed to be, like, it was trying to hit a Family Stone vibe, but it was just kind of depressing.
Yeah, and it was weirdly, like, they were trying to straddle, like, being, like, a funny, like, goofy, like, one of the first scenes is, like, Kristen Stewart, like, falling off a roof and then being fine. Like, that's the kind of, like, Santa Claus movies gag.
Yes, they tried to do that with, like, but then the way they did it was so offbeat. Like, they had, like, the kids make of shoplifting. Like, doesn't make any sense. And also, I would say my biggest quibble with the movie was that it kind of felt like it had been written about an experience like 15 years ago and then not like updated at all. Not that like people now don't have bad experiences or aren't afraid of coming out to their parents, but they didn't make the parents' characters conservative Christians or conservative at all. They didn't give them any kind of like, what's the right word? They just didn't show anything that was like, why are you so afraid of coming out to your parents if they're not like conservative?
Yeah, it was just like the general like idea of like everything has to look good. And I think like at one point her dad says about Aubrey Plaza's character, who's like an out lesbian, he's like, oh, like what a shame the family has to go through so much.
Right. But that, like, seems like something that would be, unless you're definitely conservative, that's not a comment that would happen anymore.
Yeah, true.
Like, that's a comment that would have happened in the 90s, I feel like, from, like, liberal families that don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think,
maybe I'm wrong, but no, that was the vibe I got.
I think that probably the, like, if they aren't, like, conservative Christians or whatever, but they're still, like, not the most welcoming of having a potentially queer daughter, whatever, the comment would be more like, oh, like, yeah, did you know their daughter's a lesbian? Like, good for her. Like, that's what my mom would say.
Right, totally. Like, it's really, it's not, they don't give them any other, they have the, like, political thing, but then they don't explicitly say, like, yeah, to get votes in this area, you gotta be conservative or, like, whatever. They don't, like, address any of that, which is weird because it's a movie, it's like a lesbian Christmas movie, so it's clearly not going for the conservative Christian audience, so I don't understand what they were trying to, like, protect from, or I don't know. That was one part that I felt. And, like, the Schitt's Creek guy, what's his name?
Dan Levy. Yeah.
Dan Levy's little speech about how hard it was for him to come out. But, like, that would have made sense if they had shown that this family would be really...
Yes.
But then they were super accepting of her, so the whole conflict didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Remind me, what did your parents say when you told them you were gay?
That they loved and supported me.
That's amazing. My dad kicked me out of the house and didn't talk to me for 13 years after I told him. Everybody's story is different. There's your version, and my version, and everything in between. Just because Harper isn't ready, it doesn't mean she never will be. And it doesn't mean she doesn't love you.
I want to be with someone who is ready.
Oh my god, I was actually, that scene really made me upset. Like, I feel like everyone's like, Kristen Stewart, like, be more accepting that, like, you had an easy coming out, but, like, other people don't. I'm like, that's not the problem. That's not the issue. And I was just listening, I've listened to two interviews with people from this movie, neither of whom were queer, but, like, that's what the podcast I listened to gave me. One of them was with the co-writer who plays the, like, funny sister or whatever.
Oh, Mary. Yeah, she's a UC, yeah, she's a Hollands or Hollander or something.
Yeah.
She's a UCB person.
Yeah. Which, like, I didn't like her character. And then the other one with Alison Brie, who, like, plays the oldest sister, which I thought was a weird choice also. But both of them referenced, like, the Dan Levy speech and said, like, in answer to the question, like, should Kristen Stewart's character should have should have ended up with Aubrey Plaza's character. They were both like, you know, like, I think that Harper, like, deserves some more empathy. Like, people are mad at her, but, like, I think what Dan Levy says in that movie about coming out being hard, it's like, ugh!
Yeah. Well, also, Alison Brie's character, too, was, like the scene where she outs her.
Yeah.
It's like, why did she know that was going to be such a big deal, first of all, unless, like, her parents are explicitly like, we can't have any gays in the family.
Yeah.
And also, I don't believe that she would say she's a lesbian or like Sappho or something like that. She would just call her a dyke. Like, I don't believe that. She would just call her a slur. Like, yeah. It's not, like, that's not realistic.
Also, like, people who aren't lesbians don't fucking know what sapphic means.
Right,
like,
come on. Unless you're a lit major.
Yeah.
And you like poetry.
Yeah.
Greek poetry.
But then you have to be thankful for Sapphos. You don't.
Gosh. Yeah, that's very fair. What are parts you liked about the movie?
Well, unfortunately, I love Kristen Stewart, which, like, I don't know, a pleasure and a joy to see her on screen.
Yes. She looked great in the movie. It also made me laugh how nobody in that family thought she was gay when she only brought, like, button-downs and suits, like, really queer suits to wear.
Yes, I thought that she really, have you seen the video for Phoebe Bridgers' motion sickness?
Uh-uh.
Let me send you. She's, like, really giving that vibe.
Really? Oh my gosh, I'll have to watch it. I know from TikTok that everyone likes Phoebe Bridgers, but you know I don't listen to music ever.
I know from TikTok that everyone likes Phoebe Bridgers.
It's true. Yeah. I also liked Kristen Stewart in the movie, and I especially liked the scenes at the beginning where they were being really cute, because that's the kind of Kristen
Stewart
I
that.
Want to see.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see more of that. I don't want to see this sad.
Yeah, you don't need this, like, stressful, like, that's not, it can be stressful in a, like, funny, kooky way, but this was just sad.
Well, the thing is, they had two conflicts, and they didn't want to address, they had the conflict of the family versus them.
Yeah.
And then them, the two of them against each other, and they didn't want to address the fact that they really made the, what's the name of the main character?
Harper.
They made Harper really unlikable, and they didn't address that.
Yeah.
Like, if they needed to have it be like Harper and Kristen Stewart's character were like on the same page with their or it needed to be lighter or more hijinks or something. But as it was, it just made it feel like Kristen Stewart was being fucked over continuously.
Yeah. And then it's like really sad that she ends up with her at the end.
Instead of feeling like romantic, like, oh, they're getting back together. Yeah. It feels like, oh, she's going back to her. Like,
yeah. And then, like, kind of what you've been saying about, like, oh, like, will there actually be repercussions from this family because we're not given any evidence? She comes out, and, like, literally 2 minutes later, the dad had stormed upstairs. He, like, comes back downstairs, and they take a fucking, like, Christmas card photo together.
Literally, and then they post that on the official feed, so clearly it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, and then they're, like, at Pride is another, that's, like, in the end credits. Ugh.
If they wanted it to be like the family was actually fine and this was more about Harper's like inner turmoil, then they needed to focus the movie that way.
Yeah.
Because that's not how they made the antagonist.
Yeah.
Like, they just made it Kristen Stewart's life sucks for no reason for like a week. They're so mean to her.
And also, I'm sad for Aubrey Plaza's character. She didn't get like she basically saw Harper do the same thing that she had done to her to another person. And then in the end, her redemption is supposed to be, or like her way of feeling better is supposed to be like watching Harper finally tell her parents she's gay. But then, like, that's not good enough.
Yes.
Like, it seems like her family's, like, not happy with her. And she, like, gives a lot of support as an out lesbian to another out lesbian, Kristen Stewart. And then she's just, like, there.
She should have gotten an apology, at least.
Yeah. I would have been more interested in her forgiving Harper than Harper ending up with Kristen Stewart.
Me too.
Whatever.
I agree. I didn't even need Harper and her to be together. Or her and Kristen Stewart together.
Yeah.
I just wanted her to, like, because she just was nice and tried to help out this other girl, and then.
Yes. And was like, I know you're a lesbian because you look like that.
I know. I thought maybe when they got back together, Kristen Stewart's character might have been like, you need to apologize to.
Yes.
What's her name?
Yes.
But they didn't show that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you have to talk about?
Okay, this is more of like a side thing, but my friend Wanda, she's really funny. She's an animator. She made this video called Queer Holiday Rom-Coms. And it's basically, ooh, like she asked a bunch of her friends to pitch ideas for queer holiday rom-coms that don't center on coming out. And there are more there are more fat and also not white people in her video than in all of The Happiest Season.
Oh my god. I can't wait to watch this video.
Yeah, I'll put a clip. I'm also in it.
Oh my god.
But it's like funny. It's just like silly and people being like, there are literally millions of ideas for movies that should be made over another movie like this.
Yes.
So shout out to that.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot of the stuff that's been about this movie has been like, why did Kristen Stewart end up with Harper instead of Aubrey Plaza? But I'm kind of like, why is every single lesbian movie two thin, white, cis, hot lesbians like in a sea of the same? And like I was talking about with this list of movies, this is what I wrote in the doc. We're so obsessed with the aesthetic of thin, bony, skinny, cis, always cis, feminine lesbians.
It's true.
Which is like, that's just like not what the like queer community looks like. That's not what lesbians look like. It's like, doesn't make sense within lesbian culture. And it's upsetting to me.
It is upsetting. I mean, definitely like part of I think I've talked about this on the pod that like the reason it was hard for like that I didn't realize I was bi for a long time was because I felt like all representation I saw was like thin, pretty lesbians. And I was like,
yeah,
if you're fat, you're butch. And if you're thin, you're femme is like the way that it felt.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I'm not butch. So I must not be like,
yeah,
in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like the little representation that I did find of fat queer people, fat queer women, they were always butch. And they were always like a certain type, like not just butch as like a style, a look, but like they are like masculine in personality and like take on like, you know, they're like into trucks and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Which like those people exist and that's cool that there is representation, but that's not all definitely butch people, that's not all fat queer people.
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen a fat femme lesbian in a movie. It's always like androgynous style or more butch.
Yeah. And like part of, I feel like the cultural definition of androgyny or like what pop culture says it is being thin, because it's like, oh, like, is that, you know, like, I can't see like the curves of this person to like know, which is just like equating biology with gender. So like, yeah, you wouldn't see.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
It's a problem. How do we fix it,
Lynn? It's a problem. Okay, well, in this movie, I was like, do you remember that Michelle Buteau was in the beginning of Happiest Season?
No, what does she do?
Exactly! She's, like, leading a tour in literally the first scene and just, like, walks by Kristen Stewart. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you had Michelle Buteau on set and she's there for literally less than 2 minutes.
Explain who Michelle Buteau is for people.
She's, like, a comedian who is fat and is really, really funny. She has a podcast.
I feel like she was just friends with Mary Holland, and that's why she was on it. Yeah. Or, like, I feel like, you know what I mean?
But I'm like, fucking, like, use her. Have her in a cooler role. I mean, she's not a lesbian in real life. Or, I mean, who knows, in the movie, because she doesn't have a name. But maybe, like, instead of Dan Levy's character, I know that he's so funny, but why wasn't it Michelle Buteau? Or what, couldn't she have been one of the two lesbians?
That would have been great.
Would have been great. So anyway, I think you can fix this movie by casting Michelle Buteau instead of Kristen Stewart.
Okay, great.
Even though I love her.
I love this. I think this movie could have been fixed by making it more about Harper being afraid to come out to her family because of how it would change, like something specific, how it would change about her or how they would react or something.
Yeah, I agree. I want to talk about a few of the movies on this list that I'm going to link on Autostraddle of 100 Best Lesbian Movies, which I, again, think is actually 200 best. This movie, Can You Ever Forgive Me?, starring Melissa McCarthy. I haven't seen it, and I don't know how it was received, really.
I haven't seen it either, but I do think Abby has brought it up as something we might do, so we might talk about that in the future.
Yes. I hope that you do, so that I can know. But we stan Melissa McCarthy, and in this description, it's like Lee's okay, so it's based on a memoir of like a real person, and it says that that person's homosexuality and her accomplice's homosexuality, who's a gay man, are integral to the story but not the focus. They're both given the freedom to be deeply flawed yet still human, and bonus points for properly capturing the importance of a queer woman's cat.
I want to watch it. Tend to like when Melissa McCarthy or Will Ferrell do these, like, serious movies.
Yeah. Because it's like...
So I kind of do want to watch it. Yeah.
What's a serious movie that Will Ferrell's been
in? The one he did with... I can't remember anyone's name. It has a question in the title. Or no, maybe it doesn't. He's like a writer in it. He's a writer in it, and he's gets together with the baker, who's played by Gyllenhaal's sister. What's her name?
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
And I'll look it just up. Google it. It's really good.
I love a Gyllenhaal. It has a question in it. Stranger Than Fiction?
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I've never seen it.
I think you would like it. It was a good movie. I remember from 10 years ago.
Oh my god, Queen Latifah's in it. Oh my god, which brings me to a question I have for you, Sophie.
Okay.
Is Queen Latifah fat?
She's definitely plus size.
Yeah.
I don't know how she identifies, and I also don't know what size she is right now. But I would say she has been definitely treated as plus size by the world during her career. And if she was out in more movies now, she probably would be too, but she's not. I don't know if she's fat, but I do know that, I mean, she's definitely plus size.
Yeah.
We'll say that. She's plus size.
I feel like I've been...
Is she gay?
I think it's like a question mark, but like probably.
Yeah, I've never known.
I've never known! Oh my god, out.com. Is Queen Latifah gay or not? It says, she keeps her sexuality close to her chest. Yes, but she's been seen in public with girlfriends at red carpet events.
But I don't think she's like out. You know, like, I think it's like an open secret thing, because Queen Latifah would count as a plus size, more femme person to me. But she's not in movies as that.
Okay, usually. So there are these two movies that I found, but she, in Set It Off, she plays like a pretty like butch, like you might even say like a stud. What?
Nothing. Listening to you. I don't know what the movie's about.
I haven't seen it, but I was just like reading about it. It honestly seems really fun. It's about a bunch of lesbians, or maybe just a bunch of people, and one of them is a lesbian. She's described as a boisterous lesbian.
Okay.
People love to call black women, and especially fat black women or chubby black women, boisterous.
Boisterous. Like, that's very true.
It's very true.
I think Queen Latifah was a fat icon for me in Chicago when she sings When You're Good to Mama.
Ugh, because... Mama's good to you.
Because she was so like, it was clearly a sexy song. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
You're like, I'll be good to Mama.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we could do this. Like...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the keeper of the keys, the countess of the clink, the mistress of Murderer's Row, matron Mama Morton.
Ask any of the chickies in my pen. They'll tell you I'm the biggest mother hen. I love them all and all of them love me. Because the system works, the system called reciprocity. Got a little motto, always sees me through. When you're good to mama, mama's good to you. There's a lot of favors I'm prepared to do.
Anyways, okay. What about her movies?
Okay, so I was just like, if she was explicitly gay,
yeah,
these characters she plays when she does, when she has played queer women, they're like butch, like she has to be like quote unquote butched up to be perceived as a lesbian, which I think also has to do with her being like a black woman, and being recognized as like a black lesbian, which like a lot of different stuff about that, but it's more like I said, a stud, masculine presenting.
And unclear what's happening in her personal life, but we don't need to speculate on it too much. She wants to keep it private.
Yeah, we'll stay out of Queen Latifah's business.
I would never want to mess with what she wants, you know? I just want her to be happy.
I just want her to continue to be happy.
I just want Queen Latifah to thrive.
If you want to hear the rest of this Fatty Film School and our whole back catalog of minisodes, you can go to patreon.com/she'sallfatpod. And if you go today and join at Team Paisley Moo, you get stickers. Woohoo! Shout out to our patrons Heidi Wiersma, Kimberly H., Samantha Barnes, Ainsley Rose, Maxine Shirovsky, Claire LeBlond, Amanda Zhu, Monica Rosenfeld, Grace Vahi, and A Brown 1514. We could not make this show without you. See you next week. She's All Fat was created by me, Sophie Carter Khan, and April K. Quio, who graduated. We are an independent production. If you'd like to support the work we do, you can join our Patreon by visiting patreon.com/she'sallfatpod. When you pledge to be a supporter, you'll get all sorts of goodies and extra content. Please make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's super important in making sure people find the show so we can grow the family. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to the stuff we mentioned today. And don't forget to send us your questions at fyi@she'sallfatpod.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 213-375-5023, and we might even play it on the pod. Our episode ads are done in partnership with Acast. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, you can get started at acast.com. Our theme music was composed and produced by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs. Our website was designed by Jesse Fish, and our logo is by Hannah Sanger. Lynn Barbera co-produced and edited this episode. Yelly Cruz is our magical junior producer. Our thin crony forever is Maria Wertel. I'm our host and co-producer. Our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter handles are at She's All Fat Pod. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Stay safe. We love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.